Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
Like I already said, this is chapter 13. We only have two more chapters left in the book that we've been studying the past several weeks. And Ashley asked me if I'd want to do the chapter Myths, Speculations, and Demonic Powers. And I jumped on that as soon as I could. I was like, you bet I want to do that one. But as we do this, just the title alone, and nobody get mad because there's a skull up there that we're talking about really dark and demonic things today. Don't get creeped out, okay? Don't get freaked out on me. There's no need to. For one, the Bible says that we're children of the light, right? And we all know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Secondly, we've got to know that Hollywood does not do a good job at portraying demonic powers. And, you know, it's not, we don't have to worry about anyone spinning around and throwing up and all that kind of stuff tonight. So don't let Hollywood, hopefully we don't watch those movies anyway, but if from the past you've watched some movies and you've got some ideas in your mind about this topic tonight, don't let that give you the heebie-jeebies in your seat, all right? If that's you, just don't worry. I'm not going to get all creepy or weird on you tonight. But because this subject is very often misconstrued, like that, I made sure I pronounced that word right. I studied it. Misconstrued, y'all should be proud of me. I think I said that right, didn't I? Okay, good. It's often messed up. People mess up in trying to figure this topic out. We still got to know that there is a very real spiritual battle going on. And if we believe in the Holy Spirit and we believe in angels, we've got to take the whole scripture and believe in demonic powers. And we've got everything that God has ever done that Satan has formed a counterfeit every time. Whenever God has something beautiful like the Holy Spirit, something powerful like the Holy Spirit, Satan's going to come in and do everything that he can to fix that or to mock that or to make others believe that he has power too. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. And in case you aren't used to the whole spiritual stuff and things like that, maybe you're a young Christian and you don't even know what I mean when I say a spiritual battle, I'm going to kind of simplify that. It's not like that we get up and we literally pick up our sword and we're going around fighting devils. I heard a story, and I've just got to tell this. I wasn't going to tell it, but I'm going to now. My dad pastors at a very small church. It's a bunch of old people, and I believe that's what God's called them to do, to minister to those old folks. And there's this one lady who, you know, some people are just overly spiritual for any earthly good. You know what I'm talking about? Every week she was coming up and saying, God told me this and God told me that. And finally my dad told her, God didn't tell you that. All right, that's not accurate. All right, I don't believe God told you to pick up rocks and start throwing it at devils. You know, that's not very biblically accurate. I just don't see that working out for you. Because one, we don't fight with our weapons of our warfare isn't physical. It's of the spirit anyway. And she said one day that she got up and she started mimicking as if she had a sword. There was no sword in her hand. And she started walking around her yard and she was fighting demons, she said. And her grandkids picked up sticks and they started playing with grandma and started like, yeah, grandma, let's get them, you know. So you can take these topics to an extreme, but what we're going to talk about tonight is very logical, very sound, and it'll be good for us. So these spiritual battles that I'm talking about, a good way to say this, I think, to kind of simplify it, is each day you're given an opportunity to do right and to do wrong, right? That's a very simple way of saying you face a spiritual battle every day. Every day, the Holy Spirit is waking up with you, and He is, from the very moment you wake up, He's trying to guide you and to direct you to live in righteousness and to follow the Word of God. And by that same respect, there are demonic powers that are going to do everything they can to come against you and to lead you into darkness and to get you away from the path that God has for you that day. That's what I mean by a spiritual battle. Every day you face these spiritual battles. So if you have your Bible, just go ahead a little bit. Go ahead and turn to 1 John. That way you're there whenever I'm ready to read it. But in Scripture, we see from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation these two spiritual forces. We're introduced in the very first chapter of Genesis to the power of God. And we see the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the waters, and we see God speaking things into existence, and man, it's happening. Everything He starts speaking into existence, we see the power of God right there in the very beginning. But you read a few chapters over, and you start seeing the power of Satan at work. And he has this certain amount of power with his tongue to manipulate and to do certain things. And through the books, we see that both of these forces, the power of God and the power of the enemy, the power of darkness or Satan, whatever you want to say, both of them operate in miracles. Both of them operate in prophecy, healings, and other supernatural events. And you may think, well, no, Satan can't do that kind of stuff. But if you read Scripture, you'll find that he does do those things. For example, the book of Exodus. Do you remember when Moses was there and he was calling God's people out of Egypt, out of bondage? And Moses, by the power of God, started operating in signs and wonders and miracles. But as he did that, Pharaoh summoned some of the magicians of Egypt, and they too performed certain, they weren't quite as powerful as the power of God, praise God, but they still were able to perform certain signs and wonders, and it caused some of the people to think, oh, well, our gods can do that too. And they did it through demonic powers. And I know that's in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament we see that. In the New Testament, the apostles are walking around, and they're doing signs and wonders and miracles. They're doing great things, and by the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we also see some operating in demonic powers. The girl, the little slave girl, do you remember her? She was making money for her masters by being a fortune teller, and she was able to be a false prophet by demonic powers as they gave her knowledge. And not only her, but remember Simon the magician. Through dark magics and sorcery, he was able to perform signs and wonders. And the Bible says that he led many astray, thinking that, wow, this guy is something, until the power of God showed up on the scene and blew the power of Satan out. But we still see that there are certain things that the demonic powers are able to do. And so through these things, we've got to know how to discern and distinguish between the two. We've got to know what is of God and what's not of God. Every morning when you have a thought, or as you're in your day, you're in your job, you have this thought. Is that thought from God, or is that thought from the enemy? Is that thought from my own sinful desire, which is the spirit of the world, or is that thought from the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me? And we've got to be able to distinguish those things. Are y'all with me? Does that make sense? All right, so let's get into this. Chapter 4 of 1 John, John is talking to the church, and he's speaking about this very exact thing. He says in verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." I'm going to stop there for just a second and say, many, many Christians are some of the most naive people I've ever met in my life. And it's something that we don't, in this church, we're gonna break those, and that's not going to be a description of the Christians in this body of believers. Anytime someone says, "God told me," oh, God told them, that must be true. Or every time they see something great, they think, oh, that must be from God. But we can't be that naive. See, God has spoken to us, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through John here, that you've got to test those things. Don't believe everyone, because there are many false prophets. I'll tell you one of them, those false prophets that you're watching TV and you're doing good by watching godly television, and where there's teaching and worship, and somebody gets on there and says, "The Lord just told me, you there sitting in your chair, to send $5,000 to my ministry, and he's going to bless you. Now, maybe God does stuff like that sometimes, but not every one of those prophets are prophesying from the Spirit of God, and we've got to discern. See, if there was no discernment, everyone watching TV would be like, oh, he's talking to me, and send in $5,000, and that's just not how the Holy Spirit operates, and we've got to be so intimate with the Holy Spirit that we can discern what's right and what's wrong, and that's what John is saying here. We've got to be able to distinguish between false prophets and the Holy Spirit. Here we go, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So in this passage, this short passage, we're told how we can distinguish between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of the world. One of these things, obviously there is a gifting of the Holy Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to talk about the spirit, the gifting and the anointing to distinguish between spirits. But you know, sometimes we don't have to just wait for that anointing to hit us before we can tell. We can take the word of God that's already spoken to us and say, oh, obviously this isn't from God. And we don't have to have some huge revelation in that moment from God. We can just know by what we already know by the word of God. And so what this is saying here is any spirit, anybody who doesn't proclaim Jesus and him crucified, him Christ, him in the flesh, and not only that, but we got to take that deeper and understand that that's saying what Jesus spoke about, what Jesus taught, and his word. So if it doesn't come from the word of God, if it doesn't come from Jesus, it's not of God. And that's a pretty simple thing. So whenever you hear something, see, Jesus said that it's not right to hate your brother, but this spirit here is saying that I should hate my brother because he did me wrong. Obviously, that's not from God, and we can distinguish those things. And it goes on to say that the spirit of the world is of the world. And so the spirit, that the demonic spirits that come against us that are from the world, those things promote worldly living, and they promote sin. And they try to say that it's okay to live in this sin and okay to do these things. And so obviously, we know those things are of the world. But not only that, there's a really key word in this passage that lets us understand certain things that are of the world. And it says the spirit of error. I love that Satan is dumb enough that he just doesn't get it, that everything he promotes ends up producing error. And so whenever you're faced with a decision that's a spiritual battle, whether it's to listen to this song or to watch this movie, see, these are the spiritual battles that we're talking about. It's not just angels and demons up above your head constantly fighting and you have no idea, you don't know what's going on. There are spiritual battles that you take place, that you fight in, and, oh, this movie looks really good. I really want to watch this movie. And all of a sudden, these spirits start talking to you. Yeah, you can watch that movie. Why not? It won't be that bad. It's just a movie. Yet the movie promotes adultery, lying, promotes sinful living. And obviously, we know that that produces error. And so in that spiritual battle, we've got to be able to stand up and say, okay, that's not the Spirit of God speaking to me. Does that make sense? Just trying to make something that's kind of deep and all spiritual. I'm trying to make it as like teachable as I can. I'm trying to walk in the teaching thing right now. It's hard for me sometimes not to just want to start preaching. But anyway, so we've got to know that whatever is of the world, the spirit, the demonic powers, if it's promoting error, it's not of God. If it's going to cause your marriage to fail, it's not of God. God didn't tell you to get a divorce just because you got mad at your wife. You know what I mean? If it's going to produce you to be dishonest, it's not from God. It's the spirit of error. If it's going to cause you to go bankrupt, God doesn't lead you into bankruptcy. The spirit of error does. Error will, and we obviously know that's not from God. All right, so the Bible giving us these outlines of things to do and how to live, things like that. We've got to be able to listen to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. The youth makes fun of me for the way I say that. These two different spirits, spirits of the world and spirit of darkness. Here's what you've got to know. Every ideology, every religion, every form of entertainment, movie, opinion, anything you can think of when it comes to ideologies or opinions, they are going to be backed up by one of the two spirits. Now, obviously, there are things, whether I wear a blue shirt or a gray shirt, it's not like two different spirits are trying to tell you what to do there. But when it comes to a lifestyle, thinking of how to live or decisions to make, there is some form of spirit that are behind each of those things. And they're trying to pursue you to Holy Spirit's trying to get you to live for God and the spirit of the world and the Antichrist trying to get you to live for yourself and for the world. All right, look at verse chapter 6 and verse 10. We're not called only to discern between the two spirits. We're not called only to know, oh, that's of God and that's not of God, but we're called to fight against it. In your home, dads, you're not just called to know that your children are making a bad decision. You're called to fight against it. You're called to prophesy over your household. You're called to speak things over your household and not just to be aware of them. Here's where a very dangerous thing is. There's a lot of dads, a lot of moms that know that there are things going on in the household that don't belong. And so they're discerning. They know that, well, that doesn't belong. That's not good. Yet, that's not where it's supposed to stop. You're supposed to fight against those spirits, not fight against your children, not fight against flesh and bone, but to fight against the spiritual things that are taking place in the household. That's your job. Verse 10, how do we do that? How do we fight things that we don't see, Josh? How do we fight things that are the evil spirits and the demonic spirits? Are we supposed to carry an exorcism, or not an exorcism, what is it called, a rosary, whatever, a crucifix? Are we supposed to call a crucifix over and start laying them on our heads? And no, that's not how we fight against these things. We do it, well, let's just see how we do it. How about, here we go, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Sounds like there's a battle going on, huh? There's a war raging. Is it raging or waging? For your soul. One of those two, for your soul and for your family. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And the very first thing spoken in verse 14, stand therefore. So when it comes to spiritual battles, what God is calling you right now to do is to not take a seat, to not sit down and act like it's okay. It'll pass. This is going to go away. It's not a big deal. The very first command that we see about fighting a spiritual battle is you stand up against. The Bible says resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. The word resist doesn't mean cowered away. It says stand up and to fight against boldly. And so when we are to do this against a spiritual thing, we take a stand. We don't ignore it. Makes sense? All right, here we go. It says, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The only way that you can discern what is truth and what is error is knowing the truth. And if you don't fasten yourself up, you know, a belt in the Old Testament, they would say, gird up your loins. And you would use a belt to gird up your loins. And I know that sounds all kind of weird, like what in the world does that even mean? But, you know, people back then were kind of like a robe, like a dress thing, and they had to hike their skirts up before they could go into battle. And they would use a belt to gird them up so that they would be prepared to go off and fight. And that's the way we are with the truth. We've got to gird ourselves up with the Word of God and to know the Word of God in truth so that we know the spirit of error whenever it comes, when it comes upon us. And then the breastplate of righteousness, guarding ourselves with right standing with God, having that connection with the Lord, walking and making decisions that are right in his eyes. We're called to do those things. And peace, shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given to the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I love that one. Whenever the enemy comes against you and sickness comes your way, that's when you put up faith. No. Cancer, you can't touch me. I'm putting up the shield of faith and I'm resisting you. Sickness, you don't belong in my body. Demons, you can't have my children. This music, this entertainment, I'm going to stand up against you and not allow you to come against my family. And it's through the faith in God that we do that. In all circumstances, taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You can't do anything without faith. Without faith, you can't please the Lord, the Bible says. And when all these attacks come against you, if you don't have faith, they're going to hurt. Boy, they're going to take you down, and they're going to conquer you. But through faith, we can extinguish all the fiery darts that come our way. The helmet of salvation, obviously, your head isn't protected unless you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all power and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So during these battles, we've got to pray in the Spirit. And that's not just talking about, because prayer is your communication with the Lord. That's not just speaking in tongues. That's walking in an intimacy with the Spirit so you know what's right and what's wrong. And these are certain tools that we have fighting against the demonic spirits that are talked about here in chapter 6. Here's what we've got to understand. This world is full of spirits, and they're coming against you. They're coming against your children. And I'm not trying to like do some kind of scare tactic, like the skull. The skull's coming to get you. Be careful. Pray in the Spirit or you're going to be gotten. But in reality, it is something that we need to watch out for. There are things coming. There are demonic powers that are going to do everything they can to come against God's people. And we've got to be in walking in tune with the Holy Spirit and know the attacks of the enemy. I'm just going to read a few more scriptures, then we're going to talk about like some specific things. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul here is speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And Timothy's a leader of the church in Ephesus. And here's something that he encouraged, or kind of commands him, encourages him in his letter. Verse 3 in chapter 1, 1 Timothy, Paul says, "When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus." And here's why he told him to stay here. To stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God. And so this whole group of people were in danger of false teachers. And these people that were coming up with these speculations and trying to come up with ideology. And here's the truth is, that's what's going on in America. We have teachers, preachers, and Christian teachers all over our nation that saying, it's okay for homosexuals to get married. I just read an article today on Facebook where a Baptist church in Texas is ordaining their very first gay minister. And boy, they're proud about it. They are happy. And this church came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. They're not a part of it now. But that's the danger. That this is what Paul is talking about. There are people that get together and they start thinking worldly and they start making these myths and speculations and why it's okay for them to continue to live in their sin. But Paul is saying, Timothy, you stay behind because you know the truth. You are there, you are called by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to stop them teaching the ridiculous gospel of the world that they're teaching, that are leading people away from the truth and causing them to not live in a life of faith in God. But if they don't have faith in God, where's their faith standing? In themselves. And look at this, you know, religion isn't being removed from schools in America. Christianity is, but religion is not. Right. See, there's a new age religion that says, I can do whatever I want. You decide your own truth. That may be true for you, but that's just not true for me. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. You can't say, well, you can't take what the Bible says and twist it to your thinking and say, oh, yeah, I'm still a Christian. But that's what the world and teachers are saying today. Christians are saying, yeah, it's okay to be gay and to preach the Word of God, and it's okay to live in sin. The rise of statistics of Christians that are okay with pot is ridiculous. How many Christians are like, oh, it's legal in Colorado. It's legal in California. Why not? And these are Christians. These are God's people. See, these are what the Bible is talking about. They get together and they talk about myths and speculations and they form up their own ideas. And these, you've got to know that these are being driven by a spiritual force. Does an addiction to pot lead to error? Every time. Well, is that the spirit? That's the spirit of God. That's okay. No, those are demonic forces that are driving those things. An addiction to alcohol. I'm not saying we're not getting into the theology or the having a glass of wine with. We're not talking about that. I'm sure have our opinions on that. But I told myself at the beginning, I told God, I'm not preaching opinions. I'm preaching what I know is 100% accurate. And so, but an addiction to alcohol, that produces error every time. It causes families to get divorced or to split up. It causes children to die because some drunk hit them in the road. It always produces error. And you've got to know that there are spirits and demonic powers that are coming in and pushing this agenda. There are spirits and demonic powers, I'd say like never before, but I guess in Sodom and Gomorrah it kind of went on too. But over this, the sexuality of young people. Oh my gosh, today sitting at lunch, at a school, we got this conversation. Yeah, so-and-so's going through a weird phase. He's even, you know, and I don't know whether they were joking or not, but they said, yeah, he publicly said that he's kind of sexually kind of having a hard time right now. And this is in small town Missouri, and I'm just thinking, oh, God, help this school. Let your spirit be driving these young people and not the spirit of the world, but right now I see the spirit of the world. See, this agenda, this new age ideology that we can do whatever we want and we can be whoever we want to be no matter what the Word of God says, those are being driven by demonic powers. See, military, what we know about the military, and Keith, you'll back me up, the strategy has changed, doesn't it? It doesn't always stay the same. Thank God that our military now, we're not fighting the same way we fought in the American Revolution. In fact, the French got in pretty big trouble in the, now I'm going to lie to you. I want to say the American Revolution, but I think it was something else. Maybe the Civil War. No, that French Civil War. World War I, that's what it was. It was World War I. Whenever the French started fighting in either World War I or World War II, Grandpa, back me up if I'm screwing up. One, thank you. Okay, World War I, the French started screwing up because they were still doing some of the tactics that they did in the American Revolution. And strategy had to change. People weren't lining up in their pretty outfits anymore, going out, marching, and fighting. It got the French in trouble. Strategy changed. And here's what, in this spiritual atmosphere, this spiritual battle, the demons of hell, they have a new strategy. See, whenever Jesus walked the earth, their strategy was entering into someone and causing them to tweak out and to freak out. And people say, oh, that is obviously a demon. This demon causes this child to fall into the fire and foam at the mouth, and he would go in spells, and obviously that was demon activity. And what happened, if you read church history, Christians started walking around going, in the name of Jesus, quit that. And the demons quit. And the demons and the spiritual beings of darkness, sound like, you know, like Lord of the Rings or something. But really, these spirits have realized we can't do that anymore because we will lose. In America, you won't see demon possession the way you saw it in the book of Acts. It's because strategy has changed. Now, there are evil spirits that are coming way more gentle, way more loving, as a spirit of light, as things that are looking good, saying, oh, it's okay to be attracted to the same sex. And they're not near as aggressive as they used to be. They're still as mean and evil as they used to be, but they're trying to get a way for Christians to know. And here's what church make no mistake, they're going to try to creep themselves into your house through pornography. You better believe there are demons attaching themselves to people because of pornography. Through alcohol, through certain video games. Look, I'm not saying that we have to be no TV, no this, no that. I'm not trying to scare someone to go in and take your kids' video games away and throw them all away. But there are video games that are not of God. There are video games that promote a sexual sin, that promote prostitution, promote these things. That I forgot the name of the game. Don't tell me because people will think you play it. But there's that video game where they get in, they'll steal a car and they'll get a certain amount of points for running over an old person or running over a man or a woman. Okay, obviously, you better believe that there are some demons that are trying to fill the minds of the younger generation. We've got to be aware. We've got to fight this new age demonic power that's coming against us. We've got to stand. Here's what's cool. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. In fact, turn there with me. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. So we don't cower. We're not soldiers who are scared. We're not soldiers who have to have to figure out whether it's going to work or not. Verse chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." You. It's not saying God. It says you. God in you. Because of the Spirit of God in you, you have divine power to destroy strongholds. Yet you're allowing it in your house because of the music that you are listening to. So you have the power to destroy it, but you don't because it has a good beat. You know what I mean? You have the power to destroy this wrong thinking and these sexual... See, I understand you're an adult, and you can watch a movie with a sex scene and it not make you go cheat on your wife. But I know that as a young person, those images corrupt. And they corrupt adults too. I mean, I'm not acting like they don't. But those images will cause your son or your daughter to have some thoughts and to play with some things that they don't need to be playing with. They're demonic powers in those movies. You've got to be aware of what you're allowing in your... But you have the power to stop it. My question is, do you have the want to stop it? Or are you willing to say, "No more, Satan"? I love that movie, War Room, whenever that black woman, the older woman's like, "You go in and you start proclaiming the word of God and you this and this and this." And she goes home and she's like, "All right, devil, I've had enough." And she starts walking around her house, and she starts cleansing that house of evil spirits. And she walks Satan out the door. She goes, "And you're never coming back." And it gets me going every time. See, we need some Christians who are going to do that. That are going to say, "No, no more. Not in my house. Because as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. We have the power to destroy these strongholds, to destroy arguments of every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Oh, it's my opinion that this movie's not that bad. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God to take every thought captive. I've had wrong thoughts. My opinions have been wrong. My opinion is the Beatles, I thought they were one of the coolest bands. I literally had every song they ever did on CDs. And I got to listen to some of these songs like, "That's not right, that's not right, that's not right." Well, it was my opinion. It's okay, just listen to them. It's not that big of a deal. Now, this is my conviction, may not be your conviction, and that's between you and God. But my conviction was, that's not of God. And I've been filling my mind with this stuff. It's time to get rid of it.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.